In the name of Jesus, amen. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Isaiah speaks these words by the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist fulfills them. Prepare the way of the Lord. Get ready for God to come. The world ought to take those words seriously. But I want you to ask yourself, is this good news or is it bad? And if it is good news, then what preparing do you need to be doing? If you dare, take a look at who Isaiah says is coming. Look at what Isaiah says about his breath. We will not be able to ignore the one in whose presence Isaiah says, all men are like grass, and their glory like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass, us included. This is the Lord who is coming, Yahweh, the holy and righteous one, the one who is an all-consuming fire that destroys what it can't stand. And what can't he stand? Sin. And unrepentant sinners. Self-centered, self-focused, turned in on oneself. It's all about me, sinners. That's what he can't stand. Sinners whose sin took the paradise of his Eden and turned it into what we have today. Into their lives he prepares a way, like a bulldozer preparing its way, like out there where they're rebuilding the sound wall by the freeway, preparing whether you're ready or not. And when you see a bulldozer coming your way with your name written on its blade, it's not the best of news. Do you remember when Moses came down from Mount Sinai after being in God's holy presence, coming down with the sharp words of God's holy law written on stone, stone that he held in his hands? Moses' face glowed so brightly with the glory of God, in whose presence he had been standing, that for weeks the people begged him to keep his face covered. They couldn't bear gazing into the glory of God, even if it was fading. So you have to ask, do these people listening to John the Baptist really want to see this Lord when he comes? They're sinful. They know that. That's why they've gone to John in the wilderness. They were people who were far from what anyone would call holy. They deserved God's wrath. So do they really want the Lord to come? And do you, if you take your sin seriously? That the perfect Lord is coming and wants his way prepared is about the worst news you can possibly hear. In fact, it is the worst news that you can possibly hear. But he is coming. Of that there is no doubt, like a thief in the night. And you will be part of his arrival on the scene, whether you want to be or not. On that day, the heavens will disappear with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and all the works that are done on it will be exposed. And so, his way must be prepared, not just in the hearts and lives of all those other people out there. His way must be prepared in your life and mine. So how do we do that? What kinds of things are on your list of things to fix in your life? How do you prepare your heart? Listen to the words of Peter. What sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Well, it becomes pretty obvious. You need to get rid of all the sin in your life and start walking your talk. you call yourself a Christian, then be one. Act like it, even when it costs you your way and your pride and your wants and your ego and everything else about you. Stop doing all of those things that you know you shouldn't be doing, and don't kid yourself, you know what they are. Be found every hour of every day doing the work of God, and in doing so, you will be preparing the way of the Lord. After all, God forbid Jesus come and he find you sinning. So be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish, and at peace. Well, you know you should be doing this, straightening up your life and flying straight. But if this were the goal and center of my preaching, I would be preaching in vain, because you know from experience, and so do I, that try hard as we do and committed as we are to making the way of the Lord ready in our hearts, we know there's no way we can clean up our acts good enough. You've tried, I know. And so have I. You have put lists up on your refrigerator and cards in your wallet and crosses in your pockets. And so have I. We might be able to clean up the shoulders of our freeways, but there's more to preparing the highway of the Lord than picking up the trash. Behind the trash, there are all those litter bugs to deal with. That stuff deep inside each of us that keeps messing up the highway. That by nature sinful and unclean stuff about each and every one of us. You can prepare the highway for your God. You can fix potholes with cheap bags of asphalt and sweep off the shoulders with a broom. But the real problem lies deep within the core of us. Deep within us, and there's absolutely nothing that we can do to purge ourselves of that, no matter how hard we try. You can fight against visiting those sites on the internet that you know you shouldn't be going to. You can vow never to drink again. You can promise yourself never to miss church or Bible study. You can recommit yourself to never speaking evil of others or holding grudges or cheating at work or on your taxes or on your spouse. And the list goes on and on and on. And well, you should. And well, you might on the outside repair all those potholes. And the highway will look well prepared. But on pain of death, eternal death, we must never kid ourselves. Precisely because there is something going on inside each of us, something to wrestle with is proof that the way of the Lord isn't perfectly prepared. The valleys haven't all been raised, and the mountains haven't all been brought low. There is still rough ground, not level, and rugged places not prepared for the glory of the Lord to be revealed in your life. And for me to tell you that you can prepare yourself for the Lord's coming by simply cleaning up your act will only make me a participant in preparing your highway to hell, because I will be directing you to yourself and not to your Jesus. To your work and not to his. Nothing with even the faintest odor of sin will stand in the presence of God when he comes. But still, God calls us to prepare. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Make straight the way of your heart. So how do you do what you cannot do? Well, Isaiah said something else about this Lord who is coming. Something that can put despairing hearts at ease. The Lord who is coming comes to save. He comes to comfort his people. He comes to declare the end of warfare and the pardon of sin. He comes with a strong hand, not to crush, but to shepherd his sheep and to hold them close to his heart. He comes not in wrath to snuff the dimly burning wicks of the weak and traumatized faithful, but with grace he comes. He comes not to give us what we deserve for our sins. Instead, he comes to show mercy. And for this Lord, there's another preparation that needs to be done. Not the kind of preparation that you and your kids did when you had to try to clean a bedroom so that it would pass muster. Clean as a whistle, unless, of course, you would look underneath the bed or in the closet. No, to prepare ourselves for the Lord in the only way that really works means to recognize our sin. To know our complete inability to do much of anything really about it. And from that come to realize our desperate need to be saved, even from ourselves. It's a preparation that doesn't fix the potholes in the highway. It rips the whole highway up and starts over from scratch. And that was the message of John. The task of John the Baptist, whom God called to prepare the way of the Lord, was to tell people that if they're ever going to rejoice in the Lord's coming, they must first understand how much they really need his mercy and not his justice. If you're sick physically, you know you need healing. You sit in a chair by your bed in the hospital with IV ports taped to your arms and hands and senders taped to your chest to give the nurse an alarm if your heart stops beating. And you know you need healing. With sin, it's more difficult because we're just arrogant enough to think that we've got what it takes to pass muster. To be saved, we must hear differently. And that's why John the Baptist preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He had to tell all of those who came out to hear him, he had to tell them of their sin and how they deserve nothing but the wrath of God and eternal punishment. But when those who heard John understood that they didn't deserve God's grace and life, then they were ready to hear that their sins would be pardoned. Then they were ready to receive what they didn't deserve. Then they were ready to behold the mercy of God. And that's the way the ministry of Jesus worked. Two blind men come out and they cry, "Have mercy." Jesus doesn't owe them mercy because of something they'd done or because they were blind men and we feel bad for them, but he heals them all the same. Why? Because Jesus has come to have mercy, not to give them what they deserve. And so instead of justice and judgment, he gives them sight. The Canaanite woman pleads with Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Think about that one. Not only isn't this woman a daughter of Abraham, this woman's a pagan. She has no leverage at all. But she knows who she is. She's one who needs mercy. And she says so much. And Jesus treats her not based on who she is and what she deserves, but because of who he is. And he is the Lord who has come to have mercy. And her daughter was delivered that very day. 10 lepers with absolutely no hope at all are left waiting to die in the no man's land between Galilee and Samaria, left to die alone on a lonely border. When they see Jesus, they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And he cleanses them. It's not their love and devotion to God that saves them. 9 of them didn't even say thanks. Don't you think that Jesus in his divine wisdom knew that would happen? Yet still, the Lord healed them anyway, because the Lord comes to have mercy. That's how the ministry of Jesus goes, all the way to the cross. Wherever the Lord comes, people who have been nailed by their own inability to prepare the highway of the Lord in their lives gather around him. And because he is there present with them, they cry out not for what they deserve. No, they cry out from the pit of their despair for mercy. And mercy they receive. Sometimes in the form of physical healing, which is quite spectacular to say the least. But there's an even greater mercy than that. Ultimately, the Lord comes to be merciful by forgiving their sin and giving them eternal life. It's this mercy that determined the highway that Jesus walked. It's this mercy that determined his final destination. Mercifully, from heaven above to earth he came. Mercifully, he healed and forgave throughout his ministry. Mercifully, he took all our sins into himself, shifting the target of God's wrath and judgment away from us and on to him. Mercifully, he put himself into the crosshairs of the Father's divine justice, and by doing so, he put himself on the cross. And mercifully, he went to the cross where we showed him no mercy at all. And there God had mercy on us. And he still does. He has granted us faith in the work of this Jesus, and now Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, mercifully interceding, mercifully praying for us. So are you prepared? Are you prepared for all the things on your calendar this Advent and Christmas season? Are you prepared for life and all of its complications and its constant changes and adjustments? Are you prepared to meet the Lord on whose highway you lie dead in your sins? If you're not, you can always try harder, but don't go easy on yourself because the day of judgment won't go easy. Or, you can plead for mercy, asking not for what you deserve, but that the Lord might have mercy on you. And mercy is what he comes to bring. By the grace of God alone, you already know this. And that's part of why you got up on a Sunday morning when there's so much other stuff to do, and you came here. That's why we could sing together, "Lord, have mercy upon us" this morning. And that's why at Christmas we'll sing the angels' song together, "Glory to God in the highest." Because we know he has answered our cry for mercy by giving us Jesus. Jesus still comes to you in the simple waters of holy baptism to prepare you for death. For in baptism you died with him, and in baptism you were raised with him, and now your life is hidden with him, with Christ in God. Jesus comes to you with the most merciful words your ears will ever hear. Your sins are forgiven. Jesus comes to you in flesh and blood, hidden under bread and wine, to feed those in need of mercy with himself. You may not be able to do a very good job of preparing yourself, but he does a perfect job of preparing you. And what he prepares lacks nothing. The Lord comes. Prepare the way. Hear his law. Confess your sin. Repent and trust in his word of grace. and be confident. Confident that when the Lord comes to be present among us, He comes to be merciful. Your sins are pardoned. Your warfare is over. And you are forgiven all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.